Marlowe. Have a drink. Sit down.
You and I haven't anything to talk about but business.
You'll have a drink and like it. Ever been here before?
Only during Prohibition. I don't get any kick out of gambling.
Well, you should take a look. One of your friends is out there betting the wheels. I hear she's doing pretty well. Vivian Regan. Smoke?
Yeah.
I like the way you handled that yesterday. How much do I owe you?
How much have you got?
You're not talking money?
Information was the way I understood it. You didn't bump Regan off, did you?
No. Oh, did you think I did?
I wouldn't put it past you.
A kidder. You're not really interested in Regan, are you?
I know somebody who is.
She doesn't give a damn.
I mean her father. I think he was half scared Regan was behind the blackmail.
Geiger worked it on his own. I happen to hear things in my business.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't know half the stuff that's brought to me. You know, knowing other people's business is the worst investment a man can make in my circle. But if the general didn't hire you to find Regan, your job is over.
I've been paid off.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry about that. He should hire himself a soldier like you to keep those girls home a few nights. You take the dark one. She has no money of her own, and nobody knows what's in the old man's will. If she wins here, she takes the money. If she loses, I end up with a fistful of promise notes.
Tough.
Oh, maybe I can do you a real favor someday. But all I know about Regan, you've already got from missing persons.
You own a piece of them, too?
Like I said, it's brought to me.
You don't have anybody tailing me in a gray sedan, do you?
Well, hell no. Why should I?
Boss.
What is it?
It's Mrs. Regan.
Well, what about her?
Well, she's on a streak. Roulette. 8 wins and 2 standouts in a row. On the red.
How much?
Grand the crack. 16,000 on the table, and she still wants to play.
You want to watch this, Marlowe?
I'll be one of the crowd.
If you will just be patient a moment, madame, the table cannot cover your bet.
What kind of cheap outfit is this? Spin the wheel. It's your money. Don't you want it back?
Something the matter, Mrs. Regan?
Give me one more play, Eddie. Everything I have is on red. I like red. It's the color of blood.
Cover her bet in even thousands. If no one objects, this play is only for the lady.
Spin the wheel.
Red pay.
That's 10 and another 6 $1,000 bills. That covers the bet. I hope you enjoyed your evening, Mrs. Regan. Good night.
Yeah, this is a gun lady. Gentle now. Sound carries in this Pacific fog. Just hand me the bag with the money in it.
Nice work, Marlowe. Are you my bodyguard now?
Let's go. Did you come by car?
I came with a man. He passed out somewhere along the way. Very nice escort. You should see him sober. I should see him sober. Somebody should see him sober. I mean, just for the record, so it could become part of history, that brief, flashing moment soon buried in time, but never forgotten.
Yeah.
I even thought of marrying him at odd times when nothing pleasant would come into my mind. Lots of money, you know. What are you doing here, Marlowe?
Eddie Mars wanted to see me.
I didn't know you knew him. Let's ride in your car. Oh, take me away from here.
Two coffees, black, strong, and made this year.
Are you going to put that whiskey in them, mister?
Just a smattering.
It's against the law to drink liquor in here.
Oh, I won't tell anybody.
Well, okay. I'll watch the street while you pour the booze.
My heart's in my mouth doing this.
I could get as drunk as 2 sailors and love it.
Remember, I saw nothing.
Oh, here's to it. You have wicked eyes. What has Eddie Mars got on you?
What I won tonight, I won with the $5,000 I borrowed off him yesterday and didn't have to use.
That might make him sore. You think he sent that Lugan after you?
What's a Lugan?
A guy with a gun.
Are you a Lugan?
Sure. But strictly speaking, a Lugan is on the wrong side of the fence.
I often wonder if there is a wrong side.
What hold is Eddie Mars on you?
Whittier, please, Marlowe. Much wittier.
How's the general?
Not too well.
How much does he know?
Wilde, the DA, was out to see him. Did you burn those pictures?
Sure. You worry about your little sister, don't you, from time to time?
I think she's all I do worry about. I worry about Dad, in a way, to keep things from him.
He hasn't any illusions.
There he is, blood. That's the hell of it. I don't want him to die despising his own blood. It was always wild blood, but it wasn't always rotten blood.
Is it now?
I guess you think so.
You're just playing the part.
So you shoot people. You're a killer.
Me?
I don't believe all I read in the papers.
Oh, you think I accounted for Geiger, or Brody, or both of them? I didn't have to, though neither of them would have hesitated to throw lead at me.
That makes you just a killer at heart, like all cops. One of those dark, deadly, quiet men who have no more feelings than a butcher has for slaughtered meat. I knew it the first time I saw you.
Thanks, lady. You're no English muffin yourself.
Let's get out of this rotten little town. The fog's gone. Look at the surf.
Yeah.
Move closer. Hold me close, killer. Where do you live?
Hobart Arms.
I've never seen it.
Want to?
Yes.
What has Eddie Mars got on you?
You bastard. So that's the way it is.
Oh, kissing is nice, but your father didn't hire me to sleep with you. What has Eddie Mars got on you?
If you say that again, I'll scream.
Go ahead and scream.
Men have been shot for little things like that, Marlowe.
Men have been shot for practically nothing. The first time I met you, I told you I was a detective. Get it through your lovely head, lady. I work at it. I don't play at it. Eddie Mars let you win a lot of money. He sent a Lugan to get it back. I think you weren't surprised. I think it was an act staged for my benefit. What has he got on you?
I loathe you, Mr. Detective. If I had a razor, I'd cut your throat just to see what ran out of it.
Caterpillar blood. I liked kissing you.
Take me away from here, if you would be so kind.
I took her home. She didn't speak again. This time, nobody was waiting outside my apartment. I didn't switch the light on because I needed a drink bad and was in a hurry to get one, so I headed straight for the kitchenette. I brought up short in 3 or 4 feet. Something was wrong. Something on the air. A scent.
Put the light on. I look cute. Aren't I cute?
Come.
I bet you can't even guess how I got in.
It came through the keyhole, just like Peter Pan.
You're cute, aren't you? I'm all undressed here in the bed.
My God.
Want to see?
Yeah, nice. But I've already seen it all. Remember? I'm the guy that keeps finding you without any clothes on. How did you get in here?
I showed the manager your card. I stole it from Vivian. I was mysterious.
Now I know how you got in. Tell me how you're going to go out.
I'm not. I like it here.
Listen, I'm tired. I appreciate all you are offering me. It's just more than I could possibly take. I'm your friend. We have to keep on being friends, and this isn't the way. Now, will you dress like a nice little girl?
No.
You don't really care anything about me. You're just showing me how naughty you can be.
Put the light out.
It isn't on account of the neighbors. One more stray brought in this apartment house will make the building rock. It's a question of professional pride. You know, professional pride. I'm working for your father. He's a sick man, very frail, very
helpless. Mm. He sort of trusts me not to pull any stunts.
Put the light out.
Get dressed, Carmen.
You shit!
I didn't mind what she called me, but this was the room I had to live in. It was all I had in the way of a home. In it was everything that was mine, that had any association for me, any past, anything that took the place of a family. Not much. A few books, pictures, radio, chessmen, old letters, stuff like that. Nothing. Such as they were, they had all my memories. I couldn't stand her in that room any longer. I gave her 3 minutes to get out. She went, hissing at me, that sharp sound she made when she was mad, and left me looking at my bed and the imprint of her small, corrupt body on it. I tore the bed to pieces. You can have a hangover from other things than alcohol. I had one from women. The next morning, a gray sedan was parked up the street, a small guy in it, alone. I let him follow me down to the office, slid out the back, and walked round to where he was parked. He didn't see me come up till I was beside him.
Hey, who are you?
I'm the guy you've been following for 2 days.
Well, I ain't following anybody, Doc.
Then this jalopy is. Maybe you can't control it, huh? Well, I'm not going to be doing anything interesting for the next while. If you have anything that's worrying you beyond endurance, I'll listen.
Well, maybe you know me. I'm Harry Jones.
I don't know you.
Well, I've been around. I know the boys and such. I used to do a little liquor running. Riding in the scout car with a gun on my lap and a wad on the hip that would choke a coal chute. Plenty of times we paid off 4 sets of law before we hit Beverly Hills. Oh, a tough racket.
Terrible.
Maybe you don't believe me.
Just what is the build-up supposed to do to me?
Nothing.
What's your connection? Joe Brody?
Key Rice. How did you know that?
I'm psychic. Shake your business up and pour it out.
I got something to sell. Cheap. A couple of C-notes.
Who sent you? Agnes?
Yeah. Huh. Well, she says to tell you, Brody had something else on the Sternwoods besides the picture.
So?
But that's what your $200 will buy. Agnes and me got to get out of town.
She's too big for you, Harry. She'll roll on you and smother you.
Hey, that's kind of a dirty crack, brother.
You're right. I've been meeting the wrong sort of people lately. What have you to sell?
It'll help you find Rusty Regan.
Oh, I'm not looking for Rusty Regan.
Says you. Eddie Mars had Regan bumped off.
I wouldn't waste the oxygen arguing with you. Forget it.
No. I want to speak my piece. Now, I knew Rusty. Not well, but I always liked him. He was sweet on a singer named Mona Grant, who became Mrs. Mars. Now, Rusty got sore and married a rich dame that hung around the joints like she couldn't sleep well at home. And it wasn't for the dough. I don't think he gave a damn about dough. And coming from me, brother, that's a compliment. Then Mona left Eddie Mars. She didn't like his racket. The talk was Rusty told Eddie one night, right out in the open, that if he ever messed Mona up in any criminal rap, he'd be around to see him. Anyway, I used to see Rusty in Vardy's every afternoon drinking Irish whiskey and staring at the wall. He gave me a bet now and then, which was what I was there for. Then, about the middle of September, I didn't see him no more. And I hear he lammed with Mona, only Eddie Mars is acting like he was best man instead of being sore. So, I tell Joe Brody, and Joe, he figured if he could get a line on the whereabouts of the two lovebirds, he might collect twice. Once off Eddie Mars and once off Regan's wife.
$5,000 worth. He nicked them for that a while back.
Yeah? God, Agnes should have told me. Ah, there's a frail for you. Anyway, Joe sniffs around and sees a meeting between Regan's wife and a troubleshooter for Eddie Mars called Canino. And the girl passes over dough.
Is that all you have? If she wanted to know anything about what happened to Regan, she'd have to go to Eddie Mars. You've told me nothing worth $200.
Well, what if I told you where Eddie's wife was?
I'm interested.
What if she never dusted with Regan at all, but is being held about 40 miles outside L.A. so everyone would think she had? Would you pay two C's for that, Seamus?
I think I would. Where is she?
Agnes found her by a lucky break. Saw her out driving with Canino and tailed him home. Now, Agnes will tell you where when she has the money in her hand.
You could tell the coppers this for nothing, Harry.
Look, I haven't pulled anything. I come in talking two C's, and that's still the price. So we're all grifters, and we sell each other out for a nickel. But I come to you because I thought I'd get a take it or leave it. Now you're waving cops at me. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You'll get your 200, but I have to get the money first myself.
Okay. Better after dark. Anyway, now, here's an address. It's an insurance office, a front for a bookie. I'll take you from there to Agnes. I'll be alone. It's a leery job, bucking guys like Eddie Mars, but, well, a guy has to eat. See you then, Seamus.
I took Sternwood's check for $500 to my bank, kept back $200, then sat around the office worrying why Harry Jones and his story seemed a little too pat till it was time to meet him. It was a nasty building. The smell of stale cigar butts was the cleanest smell in it. An old man dozed in the elevator. He never heard me on the fire stairs. Bums had slept on them, left crusts, newspapers, and old pouched rubber rings on them, and they had not been disturbed. A very nice building. Outside the office, I froze. I could hear the voice of Harry Jones. It said a name, Canino. Then another voice answered. I took the celluloid window from over my driver's license in my wallet, a burglar's tool the law had forgotten to prescribe, and pushed it in beside the spring lock of the door to the adjoining office. When it clicked open, I hung there, motionless like a lazy fish in water. Nothing happened, so I went into darkness, except for the light spreading in round the connecting door. I listened.
Eddie wants to know.
To know what?
You followed Marlowe. You talked to him. Why?
What makes it Eddie Mars' business?
Eddie wants to know.
I went on account of Agnes. She's got something and she figures Marlowe might pay for it.
Peepers don't give dough to punks.
He said he could raise it.
Don't fuss with me, little man.
Okay. Brody was trying to peddle a nudist photo of the young Sternwood girl. The girl tried to get it back and took a shot at Brody. Now, Marlowe was there, but he didn't tell the cops. Neither did Agnes. She figures if she did, he would lose his license, and that's worth railway fare.
This ain't got anything to do with Eddie?
Show me how.
Where's this Agnes at?
She's my girl now, Canino. I don't put my girl in the middle for anybody.
Where's Agnes?
Go ahead and blast me and see what it gets you.
A Chicago overcoat is what it could get you, little man. Now, where's Agnes?
Okay, 28 Court Street up on Bunker Hill.
You got good sense.
I guess I'm yellow.
Let's have a drink. You got a glass? All I want to find out is she dummying up on you. If not, everything is jake-a-loo. You can put the bite on the peeper and be on your way. Let's dip the bill.
Success.
No hard feelings?
No, Canino.
Moths in your ermine, as the lady says. Why, you ain't sick from one drink, are you, pal? So long, little man.
I had no gun, so I had to let Canino go. I smelled the bottle, the odor of bitter almonds. Harry Jones, dying, had vomited down his coat. Cyanide. I had a vision of Canino driving fast through rain to another appointment with death. I called information for a phone number for the Court Street address, then made police noises at the apartment manager. No, Agnes. Harry had lied and drunk his cyanide like a little gentleman. He died like a poisoned rat, but he was no rat to me. It occurred to me that Mr. Canino is the kind of self-confident gentleman who would not mind returning to the scene of his crime.
Yeah?
Is Harry around?
Not for a minute, Agnes.
Who's talking?
Marlowe.
Well, where's Harry?
I came over to give him the money. The offer still holds. Where are you?
Didn't he tell you?
I can't ask him. Do you know a man named Canino?
Yeah.
Do you want the two C's?
Pretty bad.
Tell me where.
It's a trap.
Canino scared Harry off. Say, you don't think I'd stooge for Eddie Mars, do you, Angel?
Well, I guess not. Half an hour. Beside Bullock's, Wilshire. East entrance to the parking lot.
I went back down the fire stairs. It was raining hard outside. When the drops touched my tongue, I knew that my mouth was open and strained back, mimicking the rictus of death carved upon the face of Harry Jones.
You got the money?
200. It's all there.
Okay. Brody and I were out driving Sunday before last, saw Eddie Marr's wife and Canino out for air. Joe tailed them back to east of Rialito. That's orange country, but just there, it's bare as hell's backyard, except for a cyanide plant where they make the stuff for fumigation. There's a garage run by a G named Art Huck, deals in hot cars for Eddie Mars. Behind that is a frame house. That's where she's holed up. Canino's the watchdog. Well, that's it. Goodbye, Peeper. And wish me luck. I got a raw deal.
Like hell you did. In the end, fate stage managed the whole thing. I was fooled by the dark and the rain and went off the road and burst two tires just beyond Rialito. And the only garage was that run by Art Huck. So I took one of my two guns from the hidden dashboard compartment of my car and splashed to his door. I could see the frame house beyond, light in two front windows. Canino's car sat in front.
What are you doing? I've got two flats back on the highway. I need help.
Sorry, Mr. Whitfield. Oh,
come on, this is a hell of a night.
Try really though.
Guys in a jam, Art. You run a garage, don't you?
Okay, come in.
Two flat tires, huh? That's tough. You a stranger in town?
Traveling through on the way to L.A. How far is it?
40 miles. Seems longer in this weather. Where from?
Santa Rosa.
Come the long way?
Any law against it?
Ah. Get a jack and get his flats, Art.
It's raining. You might have noticed.
Art, move.
The teamwork was very nice. I didn't see the signal. Art picked up a tire tube and slammed it down over my head and shoulders so I couldn't move my arms. Canino came almost dancing towards me, without sound, without expression. I tried to lift my hands, but his fist went through them like a stone through a cloud of dust. I had the stunned moment of shock when the lights danced and the visible world went out of focus but was still there. Then there was nothing but hard, aching, white light. Then darkness, in which something red wriggled. Then just darkness and emptiness. And a rushing wind and a falling as of great trees.
Who?
There was this woman. She was so platinum that her hair shone like a silver fruit bowl. I moved my head a little. It hurt, but not more than I expected. I was trussed like a turkey ready for the oven.
How do you feel?
Great. Somebody built a filling station on my jaw.
What'd you expect, Marlowe? Orchids?
Just a plain pine box. Don't bother with bronze or silver handles. And don't scatter my ashes over the blue Pacific. I like worms better. Did you know that worms are of both sexes and that any worm can love any other worm?
So you're a detective.
How did you know?
You slept well. They had plenty of time to go through your pockets. They did everything but embalm you.
What time is it?
Why? You have a date?
What are the boys doing? Digging a grave?
They had to go somewhere.
You mean they left you here alone?
You don't look dangerous at the moment. Besides, you don't know much.
I know who you are.
Then I'm afraid you're in a bad spot.
From your husband? Eddie Mars?
I hate killing.
How about a drink? My blood's going round like a tenant looking for a house.
Here. Why'd you have to come here and stick your neck out? Eddie wasn't doing any wrong. You know, if I hadn't hid out here, the police would have been convinced Eddie murdered Rusty.
He did murder her.
That's a lie. Anyway, it's none of your business.
The whole thing is my business. I'm hired to find out.
Eddie's not that sort.
You like racketeers.
As long as people want to gamble, there'll be places for him to gamble.
You think he's just a gambler? I think he's a pornographer, a blackmailer, a hot car broker, a killer by remote control, and a suborner of crooked cops. He's whatever has the cabbage pinned to it. Don't try to sell me on any high-souled racketeers. They don't come in that pattern.
Eddie's not a killer.
He has Canino. Canino killed a man tonight. A harmless little guy who was trying to help somebody out.
I don't believe you.
You know what Canino's going to do to me. Beat my teeth out and then kick me in the stomach for mumbling.
At least you'll be quiet. I want to think.
Isn't platinum hair out of style?
It's a wig, silly. While my own hair grows out. See?
Nice. Who cut it off for you?
I did it myself. To show Eddie I love him.
Good.
To show him I was willing to do whatever he wanted me to do. To hide out, that he didn't need to have me guarded. I wouldn't let him down. I love him.
But you've just met me, Silverwig.
You're a kick. Kidding with every breath the spot you're in.
What spot? I have your word, Eddie's no killer.
Why did you come here?
A little bird named Harry Jones led me to you. A little bird that used to hop in and out of bars, picking up horse bets for crumbs. Information, too. This little bird picked up an idea about Canino, and it led to you. He came to me to sell. I got his information, but Canino got the little bird. He's a dead little bird now, with his feathers ruffled, and his neck limp, and a pearl of blood on his beak. But Eddie Mars wouldn't do that, would he, Silverwig? He never killed anybody. He just hires it done.
I don't believe you.
You believe me?
No.
You know Canino. Canino's going to kill me.
No.
What happened to Rusty Regan?
Eddie didn't kill Rusty.
Eddie doesn't kill anybody. Maybe he just hides the body.
You'll find Rusty alive and well when he wants to be found.
But you left Eddie for
him. I haven't seen Rusty for months. He just went away.
And you're not a prisoner down here?
Why did you have to come here?
I hate killing, Silverwig.
Get out of here. You've got to get out. Quick.
Thanks for cutting the ropes. What about these handcuffs?
Canino has the key.
Then let's go. You better come with me.
No.
You can't stay here after turning me loose.
It's very funny. You see, I still love him. Isn't that funny? Women.
You've got to come with me.
You know I'm not going. When you get away, keep quiet for a few hours. You owe me that much.
You're going to wait for Canino to come back to say he's so sorry?
I'm not afraid of him. I'm still his boss's wife.
Eddie Mars is a handful of mush. Canino would take him with a teaspoon. The only time a girl like you goes for a wrong G is when he is a handful of mush.
Get out. You're clear. Get out, please. Please.
Kiss me once, Silverwing. Oh. You're cold. Your lips are ice.
Cold?
I ran through the rain. My raincoat was open in front, and I couldn't button it with the handcuffs on, even with my hands in front of me. The skirts of it flapped against my legs like the wings of a large and tired bird. I found my car and took the other gun out of the hidden compartment. I had a picture of Canino driving back jauntily through the rain, having made sure Art had got rid of the hot car in the garage. They would leave no evidence. He was sure I was in the house, all wrapped up, ready to mail. I stood in the rain. All I had to do was wait in the darkness till he got out of his car and blast him. I couldn't do it. I watched him go into the house. I had to get him out again. I went over and started his car.
Walk in front of me, doll. Slow. Can you see him?
It's too dark. I ain't see nothing.
Stay in front of me. Walk to the car.
I see him.
In the car behind the wheel.
Goodbye, Peeper.
Hey, Canino, over here.
Marlo!
Thanks, Silver Waker.
So, Marlo, you got yourself in another jam.
Oh, you heard about it.
The DA told me after you told him. Canino was no loss.
Well, there's been a lot of killings going on around me, Kronjäger. I haven't been getting my share.
Yeah, I guess you figure I ought to have done something. Maybe I thought it would be smart to let Eddie think he was getting away with whatever it was to see where it led. Or maybe you think I was letting Eddie go for more personal reasons.
No, I don't really think that.
I'm a cop. Just a plain, ordinary cop. Reasonably honest. Well, as honest as you could expect a man to be in a world where it's out of style. Oh, I like to see the flashy mugs like Eddie Mars spoiling their manicures in the rock quarry at Folsom Prison, alongside all the poor little slumbred guys that got knocked over on the first caper and never had a break since. That's what I like. But you and me both live too long to think I'm likely to see it happen. Not in this town or in any part of this wide, green, and beautiful USA. We just don't run our country like that. But all that don't mean I have any reason to think Eddie Mars bumped off Regan. I just figured he knew something about it, and maybe sooner or later, something would sneak out into the open.
What did Eddie say?
Why, just what you'd expect. We couldn't hold him or the girl. And one more thing. You play too rough. If you really want to help the Sternwood family, leave him alone.
I think you're right.
You still think you can find Regan?
No, I'm not even going to try. Does that suit you?
I don't know why the hell I bother. Good luck, Marlowe.
The sunlight was so bright it danced as I walked up to the Sternwood place. The birds in the ornamental trees were crazy with song after the rain. The terraced lawns were as green as the Irish flag. The knight above the door had still not rescued the lady. It was 5 days since I had rung the bell for the first time. It felt like a year.
Sit down, Mr. Marlowe. You'll excuse me receiving you in bed. I've not been too well lately. You may smoke.
I know. I'll blow it around.
I did not ask you to look for Regan.
You wanted me to, though.
I usually ask for what I want. I feel you betrayed a trust.
I want to give you your money back.
Why?
I didn't do the job. I was convinced you put Geiger up to me as a test. You were afraid Regan was involved in the blackmail. You wanted to know, so I kept looking.
Do you consider that ethical?
I do. You don't know what I have to go through, over, or under to do your job for you. I do it my way. I do my best to protect you, and I may break a few rules, but I break them in your favor. This case isn't over with Geiger. I'm not Sherlock Holmes. I don't expect to go over ground the police have covered, pick up a broken pinpoint, and build a case out of it. Cops don't overlook things, but they don't play hunches.
Am I to understand you are still trying to solve the puzzle?
No, I've been warned off. I quit. That's why I want to give you your money back. It isn't a completed job.
Find him. I'll pay you another $1,000 just to know if Rusty is all right or if he needs anything. Am I clear?
Yes, General.
I guess I'm sentimental and no soldier at all, but I took a fancy to that boy. Find him for me, Marlowe. Find him.
He had his eyes shut before I reached the door. He looked a lot more like a dead man than most dead men look. I went to pay a call on Carmen to return her little gun. The last time I had seen her was when I threw her out of my bed, so I wasn't sure how she would greet me.
Marlowe, you're not mad at me.
She gave me that look that's supposed to make me roll over on my back with all four paws in the air. I gave her some advice about not using a gun to shoot at people. She asked me to teach her how to shoot. She took me to a deserted place, some old oil wells of the families. Carmen had a secret, naughty look. The place, a secret, dirty look. Ah, this the place you had in mind?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, the smell from that old sump would poison goats. Otherwise, as derelict oil rigs go, it's beautiful.
You're cute.
Yeah.
Give me my gun now.
There you are, all clean and loaded. I'll put a tin can up as a target. Over on that old wheel there, okay? Now, don't start shooting until I get back beside you, remember?
Okay.
Now, I'm going to put the can on the hub. Then if you don't hit it, the wheel will stop the bullet. How's that? Think you can hit that? Come in.
Stand there, you son of a bitch!
All right. Just let me get my handkerchief between your teeth. Oh, that's it. Take it easy. My, but you are cute, Carmen. I don't think you would have missed me with a single one of those if they had been real bullets. Wait now. I'll take the handkerchief out of your mouth.
What happened?
Nothing. Why?
Oh, yes, it did. I wet myself.
They always do.
What sort of a brute are you, Marlowe? You killed a man last night. Now you come here and frighten my kid sister into a fit. What did you do to her?
What has Eddie Mars got on you?
I told you not to ask me that. What happened to Carmen?
Seemed like a mild epileptic fit to me.
She has them once in a while.
Do you know a man named Canino?
I seem to vaguely remember the name.
That's who I killed last night. How did you hear about it?
Never mind.
It all ties together. Geiger and his blackmail, Brody and his pictures, Eddie Mars, Canino, and all the little dead people who got in the way, and you. Eddie Mars was behind the blackmail. He was testing your father to see what he knew. But your father sent for me, which meant he wasn't afraid, which meant he didn't know what really happened to Regan. So Eddie couldn't blackmail him for a lot of money in a hurry. He had to wait for you to inherit the millions. Am I boring you?
You tire me.
Your father offered me $1,000 this morning to find Regan.
Why?
That's a lot of money to me, but I can't do it.
Why not?
This is Carmen's gun. She fired all five chambers at me in her fit. Too bad I had it loaded with blanks. I had a hunch she would do it if she got the chance.
You're a horrible man.
You're her big sister.
You can't prove this.
What?
You were alone with her down at the oil wells. It's only your word for it.
I was thinking of another time. A time when there were real bullets in it. When she asked Rusty down there to teach her how to shoot. And he put up a can and turned around for her to shoot him, just like today, and for the same reason.
What reason?
Do I really have to tell you?
Yes, I'm afraid you do.
Night before last, I came home to find her in my bed, naked. I threw her out. I guess maybe Regan did the same. But you can't do that to Carmen.
I suppose you want money.
How much?
$15,000.
Just what Rusty had on him. Is that what Canino got for disposing of the body after you went to Eddie Mars for help?
You son of a bitch!
Yeah, I'm a very smart guy. I'm so money-greedy that for 25 bucks a day I do my thinking for myself, what there is of it. I risk my whole future, the hatred of cops and racketeers. I dodge bullets and eat saps and say thank you very much. If you have any more trouble, I hope you'll think of me. I'll just leave one of my cards in case. All for 25 bucks a day. And maybe a little to protect what pride a sick old man has left in the thought that his blood is not poison. That his two little girls are a trifle wild, as many nice girls are these days, but they are not perverts or killers. And that makes me a son of a bitch. All right. I don't care anything about that. You offer me 15 grand. That makes me a big shot. For that, I could own a house, a new car, four suits of clothes. I might even take a vacation without worrying about losing a case. That's fine. What are you offering it to me for? Will you put her away? Somewhere where they will keep guns and fancy drinks away from her? Hell, she might even get herself cured. It's been done.
He's in the sump down at the old oil wells. She came home and told me about it just like a child. I know if Dad found out, he'd call the police, and then sometime in the night he'd die. Rusty wasn't a bad fella. I didn't love him. He was all right, I guess. He just didn't mean anything to me compared with keeping it from Dad.
So you let her run around loose?
I was playing for time. Eddie Mars was the only one could help me.
You'll take her away. And do it damn quick. I'll give you 3 days or I'll spill the story.
I don't know what to say to you. I don't know how to begin.
See that she's watched every minute.
I promise. What about Eddie?
I'll handle Eddie.
He'll try to kill you.
His best boy couldn't. I'll take a chance on that.
Marlowe!
Put her away. What did it matter where you lay once you were dead? In a dirty sump or in a marble tower on top of a high hill? You were sleeping the big sleep. You were not bothered by things like that. Oil and water were the same as wind and air to you. You just slept the big sleep, not caring about the nastiness of how you died or where you fell. Me? I was part of the nastiness now, but the old man didn't have to be. He could lie quiet in his canopied bed with his bloodless hands folded on the sheet, waiting. His heart was a brief, uncertain murmur. His thoughts were as gray as ashes. And in a little while, he too, like Rusty Regan, would be sleeping the big sleep. The double scotches weren't doing me any good. The headlines said a war was coming. Civilization was being threatened once again. I had more scotch. All it did was make me think of Silverwig, and I never saw her again.
In Bill Morrison's radio adaptation of Raymond Chandler's novel, The Big Sleep, Ed Bishop played the part of Philip Marlowe, and Robert Beatty that of General Sternwood. Vivian was played by Diana Olson. Carmen, Liza Ross. Eddie Mars, Paul Maxwell. Bernie Oles, Harry Taub. Agnes, Nicolette McKenzie. Joe Brody, Blaine Fairman. Mona, Irene Sutcliffe. Carl Lundgren, Weston Gavin. Taggart Wild, Rod Beecham. Harry Jones, Don Fellows. Canino, Peter Marinker, and Captain Kronjager, Henry Knowles. Other parts were played by Malcolm Gerard and Walter Hall. Music consultant, Adrian Edwards. The play was directed by John Tiedemann.